Second Samuel, chapter 11. We're going to start reading today at verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent the messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, 'I am with child.' And David sent to Joab, saying, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, 'Go down to thy house, wash thy feet.' And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and of there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, 'Uriah went not down unto his house,' David said unto Uriah, 'Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?' And Uriah said unto David, 'The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing.' And David said to Uriah, 'Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart.' So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk, and at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, 'Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire you from him, that he may be smitten and die.' And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also." God, we thank you for this day today, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your many mercies and your blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day, God. I ask you to anoint my mind, O Lord, anoint my thoughts today, O Lord Jesus, my lips, O Lord, and give those that are here an ear to hear your word today, God, as we give you all praise and we give you all glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I didn't know what Brother Wilson was teaching on this morning. Brother Wilson didn't have any idea what I was going to be preaching on this afternoon. But those that were in his service this morning may see some similarities between the two. Battle, though not a pretty thing, is a necessary function in the war against good and evil. The war between right and wrong, or the war between the armies of Satan and the armies of God. It's necessary. We will not endure our time on this earth without there being a battle faced between these opposing armies. Battle is never a simple thing, and nor is it glorious. But as long as we're in the dispensation that we currently find ourselves, battle will be a part of our lives until the very end, until we stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. We will be in battle. Bible says that we can serve one of two masters. We can either serve the armies of Satan, or we can serve the armies of God. There is no in-between. There is no being on the fence. There is no neutral ground. We can't be Switzerland in this battle. We can't be a neutral territory saying, I'm not going to choose one side or the other. By the way that we live our lives, by the things that we do in our lives, we are showing which master it is that we are serving, which side of the battle we are on. Our lives will dictate this. And we have that choice to choose which side of the battle do I want to stand on. Which side is the one that I believe in? Which is the side that I think is going to be the winning side? And I believe that that is what Brother Wilson talked about this morning, is who's winning the battle. I know. I've read the back of the book. I've read the Bible, and I know that the Bible says that those that choose to follow after God win. So you have a choice. You can say, I want to serve the winning side, or I'll take my chances with the liar, the deceiver, the one who will try to pull me away from the armies of God, offer me all kinds of riches and offer me all kinds of things which are all false, and go and serve after him. You have that choice. Each one of us can walk out of here today and say, I do not want to serve God anymore. But as long as you say, I do want to serve God, as long as you say, I want to be a part of his army, as long as you say, I want to give my life to God, there are still choices that need to be made. It is only you who can dictate what position you will hold in each and every skirmish that you may find yourselves in. And believe me, you will find yourselves in battles every day. Especially once you decide that you're going to be in God's army. Satan is not going to sit by idly by and say, oh, yeah, God, you can have that one. Oh, I'll give you that one, God. That's fine. You can take that one. Satan wants to destroy your soul. You may think, oh, well, I'm just nothing in this world. Satan wants you. He wants to destroy you because you've made the choice to live for God. As soon as you make that choice, you become a target. You become an enemy. You become the one that he hates and will want to destroy. All because we are going to be the ones to take the position that he once held. And he's jealous and he hates the things of God. Daily you're going to be in these battles. Daily things are going to come your way that you need to be equipped to fight. You need to be equipped to say, I'm not going to turn that way. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to allow Satan to destroy what God is trying to do in my life. So whether you be a leader, rallying your troops around you, desiring to effect a change or a difference in those directly within your influence. Well, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm 10 years old. I'm 12 years old. I'm 17 years old. I'm 20 years old. It doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your status in this our worldly civilization that we live. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. Each one is important in God's eyes. Each one is able to be whatever you choose to be in God's eyes. You can be a leader as a child and affect the change of those around you if you so choose to do so. We all have people that are within the sphere of our influence, people that we can make a difference in their lives when we go to work, when we go to school, when we go shopping. Everywhere we go, we can make a difference in somebody's life. Amen. So we can choose to be a leader. Well, I'm not a boss in my job, and I'm not a teacher at my school, and I'm not in ministry in the church. How can I be a leader? By leading people. Leader isn't a title. Leader is an attitude. Being a leader is what you choose to do. You can make a difference in people's lives around you. Or maybe you'll just be a medic, tending to the wounded. That's a valid position in any army. People that are wounded need help. And lots of people are wounded that come to God, and they need help. Or maybe you just want to be a soldier on the front lines, doing your best to fight for what is right. That's another valid position. It's another noble position, being in the front line, being there in the thick of the battle, being the one at the forefront of every battle saying, I'm going to be in the fight. I'm going to be there to to serve what is right, to just see an outcome that God wants to see happen in my life and in the lives of those around me. And I'm going to be in the thick of everything, ready to do my part. Amen. You have the choice to decide what position do you want to hold. But it doesn't matter what position you decide to hold. But what is important is that you are in the battle.
Amen.
You need to be in the battle. And that's exactly what I would like to speak on for just a little while today. My title is Get Into the Battle.
Amen.
Get in the battle. We don't need bystanders and people viewing from the sidelines. We need people that are in there getting into the fight, that are taking up a position and saying, I want to be on the right side. I want to be on the winning side. I want to be on God's side. I want to be in that battle. I want to do my part each and every day.
Amen.
That no matter where we go, we can say, I was a part of that battle. And we came out victorious. I was a part of that battle. And we won another one. And I was a part of that battle. And God gave us the victory again.
Amen.
All the time we need to say, I want to be in the battle.
Yes.
I want to be in the thick of things. I want to be in the fight. I want to be there, ready and willing to give my life back because God gave His for me.
Amen.
I want to turn our attention back to verse number 1 of our opening passage of Scripture. So it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David, the king, tarried still at Jerusalem. At a time when kings went out to battle, David, the king of Israel, stayed home. David wasn't in the battle. David wasn't in the fight. David, for whatever reason, said, oh no, I've got people that'll go and do that for me. I've got armies that have been trained up that I'll send my best ones. I'll send out Joab and all the mighty men and all. They'll go into the battle and they'll do the fight for me. In this opening scripture, we find David, and I looked through some different commentaries, says that he was approximately 55 years old. Maybe David was battle weary. Maybe he was battle worn. Maybe he thought, oh, I've had enough, and decided to stay home. The Bible doesn't tell us what it was that he was thinking, what it was that he was going through in his mind, why he wasn't out in the battle with his troops. It says that he sent his men into battle and he stayed behind. David at this point in time has now been king following the death of Saul for about 20 years. He'd been serving for quite a while, doing his all, doing his part. We can go back through the histories and we can see all the battles that David was a part of, that when he was in there and they were victorious and God was doing a mighty thing. He was protecting his people. But this time, David stayed home. He continued to seek a definitive victory over the Ammonites. But he sends Joab and his mighty men. We find David here at a major turning point in his life. This was the same David that was anointed king over his brothers at a young age. Looking through again, I tried to find a timeline because the Bible doesn't give us ages, doesn't give us specifics. I tried to find a timeline of when certain events happened in his life, and it says that David was anointed king at about 10 to 13 years old. I can't do anything for God because I'm too young. David was anointed king at 10 to 13 years old. God chose him to be the one to be the king over his people. God picked him out of the multitude of people. God picked him out of the mighty brothers that he had, the ones that were big in stature, the ones that were handsome, the ones that everybody else would have thought, there's a good king. God says, no, I want that little boy. I choose him to be my king. This is the same David who, at approximately the age of 17, went out into a field and killed the giant Goliath. who none of the rest of the army would dare go out and fight against. Send me a man that we may fight together. David says, I'm going to get into this battle. Jesse sends David, go down and see how the army's fare. I want you to just take some food. I want you to go down. I want you to report back to me how the army's doing. Oh, I'm willing. I'll do whatever you want, Dad. I'll do everything you ask me to do. And he takes up his stuff and he goes down and marches his way down there. And he gets to where the battle is being waged and the fight is there. And there's no battle going on. And he starts to ask questions and he starts to inquire, what's going on? How are we doing again in the battle against the Philistines? Quiet, David. See that guy that's walking out into the field there? It's one man coming out into the field. Here's that 9-foot-tall giant walking out into the field. Send me a man that we may fight together. Go fight him. What are you doing? Like, get out there, fight that guy. What about you? Get out there, fight him. Go. He's defying our God. Why are you guys trembling here behind the rocks? What are you guys doing? Why will nobody go out there? What's to be done? What happens to the man that goes out there and defeats this Philistine, this giant, this one that's defying my God? And they tell him, oh, all these different things. That's not why David went out there. He didn't go out there for the riches. He didn't go out there for the glory. He went out there because there was somebody out there that was defying his God. And he looked around at all the rest of the men that were standing there that weren't in the battle.
Right.
Saying, if somebody's not going to go out there, pick me.
Right.
I'll go out there. Saul brings him in. Oh, well, you want to go out there and fight? That's a man of war out there. You're a child. 17 years old, and you're going to go out and fight this battle-hardened giant? I'll go out there. I'll fight him. I'll get in the battle. I'll do what's necessary. This same David, who looked around at his armies saying, is there not a man that's willing to stand up and go and fight? Is there not a man that's going to go against this giant? This same David we find down the road staying home. David, the same one who could calm Saul's spirit through the playing of his harp. David, who the Bible calls a man after God's own heart. This same David we read about in 2 Samuel chapter 11. This same king that when all the rest of the kings were going out, David said, no, I'll just stay home. A man who is not where he belonged. A man who was now walking not after the Spirit, but after his flesh. Galatians chapter 5 warns us of this. Verse number 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Right.
We're called to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill what our flesh is wanting us to do. When we follow after what God wants in our lives, we're not following after what Brother Holland wants in his life. Because sometimes what God wants in my life and what Brother Holland wants in his life are two different things. I'm sure the things that God wants for Brother James's life are probably not what Brother James wants for his life. Each and every one of us, there's that war that goes on, flesh and the spirit, flesh and the spirit. Are you in the battle? Are you in that fight? Because if you're not in the fight, it's not your spirit that's going to win. David as king should have been leading his troops into that battle. David should have been at the forefront of that army marching into that field with the banners flying high. David riding on his horse showing all that he was not afraid to be in that battle. But David was at home. In bed, maybe growing a little bored, wanders out onto his balcony. Never should have been home. And he looks out across the rooftops and sees a woman. There should never be such a thing as a sideline saint. Those who sit as spectators watching the events merely just pass them by. We need to have that desire, the want to, the attitude that puts us into the battle, being exactly where God wants us to be.
Amen.
Saying, I want to be in every battle. I want to be there to be in the fight. I want to be there to do what is necessary to be done to see us on the winning side.
Amen.
God wants to destroy this little church. Sorry, not God. Satan wants to destroy this little church. God wants us to be raised up. God wants us to grow. But Satan, we're just a little church. We're only 30, 40 people. It doesn't matter. To Satan it matters, and to God it matters.
Right.
And there's that battle that's going back and forth, and Satan wants to destroy what is here. God wants it to grow. Where, what are we going to do? Are we going to get in the battle?
Amen.
Are we going to get in the fight? Are we going to say we want what God wants? We want God to be on our side. We want this church to grow. We want this church to prosper. We want to be able to stand before Him one day and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
Somebody else will do it. I'll let somebody else go out there and witness. I'll let somebody else go out there and teach Bible studies. I'll let somebody else get into the battle. All those men, when David went into that field, when Goliath was standing on the other side, why aren't you in the battle? Why are you waiting for somebody else to step out and do the work? David was probably thinking, one of you should be man enough to stand up and say, I'll go fight you, Goliath. I'll get into the battle, Goliath. But they all stood back, cowering behind the rocks, shaking, scared, wondering who was going to come and fight. Waiting for one man to say, I'm going to get into the battle. I'm going to get into this one. I'm not going to be afraid. When you're in the fight, you have no time for temptations. No time for backbiting. No time for gossip. You see, the thing is with David, this was not an isolated incident in his life. This would be a turning point. You see, because God had already before this ordained what he wanted as a covenant for marriage. One man, one woman. But David, all along in his life, still followed his flesh. Because he had many wives. And this was just another opportunity, standing out upon that, walking out onto his balcony and looking over on the rooftops, that he said, oh, and I want that one too. Never mind that this woman was already married. Never mind that he had no business going after another man's wife. But he wasn't in the battle. He wasn't where he should have been. And it opened the door to covet his neighbor's wife. It opened the door to adultery. It opened the door to murder. There's three commandments right there David broke by not being in the battle. When you're not where God wants you to be, it allows that opportunity for Satan to step in and try to destroy you. It allows that opportunity for things to come into your life that should never be there. But when you're in that battle, when you're in that place, in God's protection, and your focus is different than what everybody else's is. You see, it was at this turning point in David's life that God would begin to have David pay the penalty for his sins. Not only would the son that was born of that adulterous relationship, that God would take the life of that child. Later on, another one of David's sons would commit immoral acts against his own sister. Another of David's sons would try to overthrow David in his old age and usurp his authority and steal what would rightfully belong to Solomon. All of these events that came to pass later on. Born out of David not being in the battle. The death of a child. Immoral acts in his own kingdom, in his own household. All of these things, because of David's choice to say, I'll let others go and fight. I'll let others go and wage this war. We all get tired. We all become weary. Life takes its toll on each and every one of us. But it's up to each one of us to say, even though I'm weary, even though I'm tired, even though I'm busy, I want to be in the battle. I want to be in the fight. I want to give my all to God's winning side. So how exactly do you get into the battle? Well, I'm glad you asked. We have prayer Tuesday through Saturday from 6 till 6 Thursday. Each night. Song that we sing, the weapons we use are not bombs and guns. But worship is the way that the battle is won. When we come down to the church and we get down on our knees, when we start praying for other souls, we're in the battle. When we stand in the gap saying, I want my brother to be saved. I want that newcomer to be saved. I want to see the Holy Ghost poured out upon those that come into this church. When we get down on our knees and we start praying for others, we're in that battle. Our prayers go up and are putting up. We're that advocate for our brothers and our sisters. We can ask for a hand of protection upon each one of our brothers that saved or not saved. We're in the battle when we're on our knees. That's where we fight. That's where we win, is on our knees.
Amen.
We get into that battle. We get into that fight. And we call out to God and we become that weapon that God can use to defeat our enemy. You can have others over for fellowship to exhort one another and to speak of the things of God. You do that, you're in the battle. You can get involved in the things of God. You can be faithful in attendance to church and in giving of your time and of your finances. All of these things put you in the battle. All of these things make you a part of the army of God. All of these things mean that you have the right focus and you have that right direction. And when you're focused on those things, Satan can't get a foothold in on you. Suddenly, the things that were tempting you before no longer tempt you anymore because you're focused on God. Because you're talking to God, you're walking in the Spirit, not after your flesh. There's lots of times when God asks to do something. Well, I just don't feel like it tonight. I'm too busy tonight. I had a rough day. What does the Bible say? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We say, I can't go to prayer tonight. Oh, I'm just too tired. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it till tomorrow. But what happens? You say, I'm tired and I'm weary, but I'm going to get down there to prayer. And you get down here to prayer. And maybe you start off and, thank you, Jesus. And suddenly you start thinking about all these different things coming to your mind and you're, thank you, Jesus. Touch this individual, God. Help this one, God. God, you need to be in this. I want to be in this fight with you, God. I want to be in this battle with you, God. I want to do things for you, God. Anoint my mind and touch my body. And by the time that half an hour prayer is done, you leave here and you're going, wow, I feel good. I feel energized. I feel empowered. Because it's when we deny our flesh and we stop doing what our flesh says we want to do and we say, God, I want to do it for you. God gives you that rest. God gives you that power. God gives you that refreshing. But instead, I'm too tired. I'm too weary. Well, maybe just read your Bible for a little bit. Oh, no, the newspaper looks more interesting. I'll read that instead. And then suddenly, we find ourselves like David. A pattern of things over the years continued to follow after his flesh over and over and over. Till Nathan comes to him one day. Says, I've got a story to tell you. See, there was this man who had a sheep. And he raised this sheep, and it was the only one he had. And he raised it, and it was in his house. And it was like a child unto that man. And it lived in their house, and it sat at their table. And then one day, another man who had lots of sheep said, I want that man's sheep for my dinner. And they came and took that man's sheep away. David, full of his indignation, that man needs to be put to death. He's got to die for what he did. How dare he go and take that sheep? Nathan says, David, that man is you. All because of his pattern of fulfilling his own flesh rather than doing what God wanted him to do. Till one day, there came a day of reckoning. One day, there came a day when he had to make a decision. David got down on his knees, he clothed himself in sackcloth, and he began to repent. But that child that was born would be still taken from him. It would still cost that child his life for the sins that he had committed. We need to be in the battle. Every day we need to be in the battle. When you find yourselves out of the battle, it gives the enemy the ability to whisper lies into your mind. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 through 29. I'm going to read from the Living Bible translation. It says, idle hands are the devil's workshop, idle lips are his mouthpiece. An evil man sows strife, gossip separates the best of friends. Wickedness loves company and leads others into sin. When you're idle, when you're not doing anything, when you're not in the battle, it gives Satan that opportunity to come in and start speaking things to you that you should not be believing. He starts speaking things to you that you start sharing with others around you. And because you're idle, because you're not in that battle, you're not spiritually prepared to be in that battle. People that get into the army, they make a choice. They go to boot camp. They go through training. They go through exercises, all designed to equip them for battle, all designed to make sure that they're ready to be in battle, all designed to make sure that their mind is going to be in the right place, that they're going to be thinking of the right things, that they're going to be thinking about what they're doing when they're out in that field, so that in a moment's notice, they're ready to react. In a moment's notice, they're ready to respond to the attack that's coming their way because they're trained and they're prepared. They're ready to be in that battle. You don't just take some guy off the street and hand him a gun and say, okay, go fight. Because he's going to die. Because he's not going to be ready. When we find ourselves outside of the battle, that's what happens to us. Is we start to forget about the things of God. We start to forget about what God wants us to do. And Satan comes in and starts whispering lies to us. And we're not ready to take that attack. And then one day, we end up in a place and we're going, how did I get here? How did I make it here? How come I'm so far away from God? Because you weren't in the battle. Because you weren't in the fight. When you are in the battle, your focus is God. Your focus is lost souls. Your focus is God's kingdom. Your free time is not your time. Your free time is God's time. When you enlist in the army, one generally does so because they want to fight for freedom. They want to fight for something that they believe in. Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe in this life-changing gospel? The Bible that we read, that we preach out of, the one that we teach out of, the one that we try to share with people around us, do you believe in that Word? Do you believe in being set free from the shackles and the chains of sin? If you believe in those things, you should want to fight for those things, for the freedom of those things. God set you free from the shackles and the bonds of sin. God reached down into that miry clay and he picked you up and he set you upon that rock. It's not up to us now to take that and say, that's good enough for me. I'll just sit back and watch others get in the fight. I'll sit back and watch others win souls. I'll sit back and watch others teach Bible studies. I'll sit back and watch others hopefully reach the lost of our city. We need to be in that battle. The church doesn't need pew sitters. The church needs warriors. Battle-ready, battle-hardened warriors. Equipped to do the job that God has called us for. The church needs those who are not afraid to get their hands dirty, who are ready to stand in the gap for those around them. You see, this battle is not over a piece of land or a matter of conquering a rival kingdom. This battle that the church faces is a rescue mission.
Amen.
How often have people been captured in a battle, in a war? And the side whose people were captured, they start pulling together the best of the best. The U.S. Army has groups like the Navy SEALs and other specialty groups that they pick and they handpick soldiers to be part of these elite units for just that. It's a rescue mission. You're going to go into battle. Your lives are going to be at risk. But we have one mission. And that's to retrieve those that have been pulled to the enemy side. To recapture those that have been taken captive. Do we really face those out there that are lost in that sense? Those out in the world are captive. They're part of God's family. They're part of the ones that God wants in his church. But they're captive and they're bound, held by the chains of sin. And are we really ready to risk put our lives on the line and go into the battle and say, I want to recover one of them. I want to go and help one of them. And I want to reach one of them. And I want to be in this battle. And I want to be a part of this elite force. I want to be a part of this specialty group of soldiers that goes out into battle and to get those back. Our lives aren't at risk by doing that. But your flesh might think so. Well, I had other plans for my Tuesday night other than teaching a Bible study. I need my time, you know. I work all week. Come to church all day on Sundays. Come to prayer every night. I need my time. What about if the one who reached for you and spent their time praying for you and teaching you Bible studies. And like Pastor said here a couple weeks ago, changing your diapers when you were a baby in Christ. What if they would have said, no, I'm too busy. I'm not going to invest the time. I know I wouldn't be here tonight. I had a pastor that gave a lot of time to me when I was first in the church. Now it's up to me to start giving that time. It's up to me now to start reaching for others. This battle is about an eternity for every living being. What if when Peter was thrown into prison, his brothers and his sisters thought, well, better him than us. We're still on the outside. We're still free. We can still go out and preach. We can still go out and teach. We can still go out and do the things we were doing. Well, sucks to be Peter, though. Stuck in that prison. That's not what his brothers and sisters did. Did you hear that Peter was thrown into prison? They came and grabbed him out of the middle of town there. He was preaching. He was teaching people. And they came and grabbed him and threw him in prison. Get everybody together. We need to start a prayer meeting. We need to get together and start petitioning God that God's going to release him. And they got together in a house and they started praying and they started worshiping and they started getting together, calling upon God, saying, God, you need to set our brother free. God, you need to deliver him out of the hands of our enemy. God, you need to reach into that place and you need to help him and to get him back.
Right.
And Peter, laying in his prison cell, a man comes along and, hey, you, get up. Get those shackles off. Get those chains off. Okay, I want you to follow me. Let's go. Oh, careful. That guard's sleeping. Okay. Yeah. Prison door over here. Yeah, see how that just opened right up? There you go. Okay, now I want you to go back to the house where they're all praying. They're praying for you right now. You better go and tell them that you're out. Peter, in the middle of the night, angel comes in, wakes him up. Shackles suddenly are off his feet. Walks out of there with that angel. Somebody interrupting our prayer meeting here. Woman comes down to the door, opens up the door. Ah! Slams the door. Peter must be dead. I just saw his ghost outside. Are you going to let me in? There was people that were willing to get into the fight. There was people that were going to say, Satan cannot have him. Our enemies cannot have him. He is not going to be bound in that prison a moment longer than he needs to be. We need to get together. We need to be in the fight. We need to be in this battle to get him back. They got together. They got in the battle. They got into the fight, and God delivered him.
Amen.
Your neighbors, your coworkers, your schoolmates are all in captivity. We need warriors to rescue them. We need people that are willing to get out there and are willing to sacrifice and say, I'll do it. I'll get into the battle. I'll be that warrior. You are that warrior. If you're here today, you are a warrior. But you need to choose and pick and choose and say what position you want to be in this battle. What position do you want to hold? Do you want to be the general? Do you want to be the lieutenant? Do you want to be the medic? What position do you want to hold? Do you want to be the leader? You can be. You can be the one that's going to lead people to Christ.
Amen.
Each one of us has that opportunity and that chance and that ability. If you've got the Holy Ghost in you, you have that ability to lead people to Christ.
Amen.
You need to believe that you have it. You need to believe that God is with you. You need to believe that God has gone before you and that he's making a way. Every person that he puts on your heart to witness to, every person that he puts on your heart to talk to, that he's going before you and he's going to give you the words to speak. And he's going to give you the ability to speak them. There is a reason that the Bible refers to the whole armor of God. Because we're in a battle. And he wants to equip us for battle. And he wants to equip us to be in the fight, to be ready to fight. He gives us the whole armor that we might be protected. And that we have our sword to attack. To be ready. And have that ability to be in the battle. As we stand together today. See, Jesus came to equip mankind. He picked those who would back him up. Those who would take up that fallen banner when he left and would continue the charge. He chose people who not only would be equipped, but who could also help equip others who had received the call. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14 says, "These shall make war with the Lamb. And the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." God is calling for those out here. God is calling for those out in our city, that are in our schools, the ones that we go to work with each and every day. God is calling for them. It's up to us to be in the battle and start reaching for them, to start desiring to rescue them, to pull them out of the enemy's hands and bring them into a place where they can have their freedom, where they can have their deliverance, where they can have their salvation, that they can become a part of this army. I urge you today to talk to God and say, "God, where do you want me? I don't want to be on the sidelines. I don't want to be stay at home. I don't want to watch events happening around me. I want to be equipped and I want to be ready. I want to be in that battle. I want to be a part of the winning side." God, help us today, O Lord, to look to you, Jesus, O Lord, to see you.
Your love,
Jesus. Help us.
Help the ghost. Help us. up your bro-